Hello, friend. Thank you so much for downloading this podcast, and I hope you hear something truly, I mean this from the bottom of my heart, something that edifies, equips, enlightens, encourages, and then gently but firmly gets you out there into the marketplace of ideas. I so appreciate your taking the time to listen. But before you start the broadcast, let me just take a moment and explain that this month's truth tool is called SEEK, S-E-E-K, written by my friend David Robertson, my favorite Scottish apologist who is currently serving the Lord in Australia. He comes and visits with us once a month. And he wrote a book called Ask, and now he's written a follow-up book called Seek, Real Word Answers to Real World Questions. And so he literally goes through a whole series of questions like, is there ever a good lie? Or does the Bible have mistakes? Or what does the Bible say about climate change? Or what's the difference between capitalism and communism? And the list goes on and on and on. So it is a fabulous reference book that I know you're going to want to put in your legacy library. So if you'd like a copy of Seek, and we are listener-supported radio, I'd love to send one to you when you give a gift of any amount to support In the Market with Janet Parshall. Simply call 877-JANET-58, that's 877-JANET-58, and offer a gift of any amount. We'll send you a copy of David's book, Seek. Or if you'd rather do it online, go to inthemarketwithjanetparshall.org. Scroll to the bottom of the page. There's the cover. It has a brain on the cover, so you can't miss it. Click on the cover of the book, make your gift right through the website, and we'll send you a copy of Seek by David Robertson. Great tool to have, one of those important little volumes in your ready reference library, and I know you're going to be blessed. By the way, when you're on the website, you might want to consider being a Parshall partner. Those are people who give every single month at a level of their own choosing. They always get whatever the truth tool is that particular month. And in addition to that, they get a newsletter that contains an audio piece from me as well. So Parshall partner or just this month's truth tool, either way, it helps us financially to keep moving forward. 877-JANET-58, 877-JANET-58, or online at inthemarketwithjanetparshall.org. Now please, enjoy the broadcast.
Here are some of the news headlines we're watching.
By the time the conference was over, the president won a pledge.
So are Americans worshiping government over God?
Extremely rare safety move by a nation.
17 years, the Palestinians and Israelis negotiated.
This idea of more taxes.
We hear a lot of
Hi, friends. Welcome to In the Market with Janet Parshall. A very happy Monday to you. What a weekend it was. Rocket sirens and booms were heard across Israel early Sunday morning after Iran launched an unprecedented wide-scale aerial assault that threatens to push the Middle East to the brink of a regional war. Israel's military, thanks be to God, said it intercepted the vast majority of more than 300 Iranian attack drones and missiles. Which takes us to now what's happening. Israel's war cabinet met Sunday after Israel and its allies put up a remarkable defense shield against Iran's first direct attack ever against the Jewish state, eliminating 99% of the projectiles. Many in Israel are urging a vigorous counterstrike against the Iranian regime, but President Joe Biden reportedly told Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu by phone that the U.S. would not support Israel in a strike against Iran. And he's organizing a diplomatic push instead. The UN Security Council sent the same message. However, several U.S. lawmakers and some Israeli leaders insist a counterstrike against Tehran is the only language the regime will understand. Now, this entire hour is going to be devoted to talking about Iran and Israel. And we're going to talk to two people who have very close connections to both parts of the world, and they're going to share their insight as well. But I want you to hear a news report. Remember all of this now with Hamas. Hamas has been told, give us the hostages, we root out Hamas, and then it's over. And again, if anyone has not thought from October 7th to this moment that this has been a proxy war with Iran, you're asleep, you don't understand the geopolitics of what's going on. Hezbollah is Iran, Yemen is Iran, and Hamas is Iran as well. And so Iran is obviously fomenting the situation. And remember, it refers to Israel as the little Satan. We in the United States are the great Satan. And nothing has changed, by the way. This is all part of their eschatology. They want to bring about some nuclear chaos so that it will usher in their Mahdi, which is their Messiah. And then there can be the beginning of Islamic domination of the planet. So it's interesting, right? This is what life sounds like, looks like, feels like east of Eden. So I want to go back to Hamas because, again, they have rejected once again the latest hostage ceasefire. Here is Channel I-24 in Israel reporting. Have a listen.
Traumatic. That's perhaps the best word to describe last night for the Israeli public following Iran's attack. But for the families of the Israeli hostages still being held captive in Gaza for 191 days now, the psychological warfare is nothing new.
Anyone who agrees that they should be returned, and I think that is the majority of the people, should stop and do everything to return them. The biggest problem, in my view, is the normalization. The normalization of this situation, where people continue their lives while there are families who pay the heaviest price.
The only difference is that Iran's attack is derailing international headlines, replacing the plight of the hostages with the fight against Iran. In fact, even this morning, when the Mossad announced that Hamas had rejected the latest ceasefire proposal on the table, that major piece of news was completely sidelined by Iran's assault on Israel.
People don't understand that this serves Netanyahu as well. This assassination was intentional to create the emergency situation that makes people stay at home, disperses the protests. But at least the families and people who accompany them and fight for Netanyahu's resignation will not surrender and will not let the fear make them stay at home.
There are still over 130 Israeli hostages being held captive in Gaza. Last night saw many of their families take to the streets of Tel Aviv to protest for their immediate release. Those protests were broken up when the news came out of Iran's imminent attack. And even though Hamas actually rejected the latest hostage deal offer last night at 7 p.m., an official statement on the matter wasn't released until this morning.
It's horrifying that the government started this ordeal with Iran, and the only thing that should be talked about and anyone would do is just to get back all the hostages back home at any price. There is no price for people's lives.
Last night's anxiety about Iran's impending attack on Israel was certainly a trauma for every Israeli. But following Israel's incredible show of defense, this morning, many woke up feeling safer than ever in their own country. Sadly, the hostages and their families can't say the same. They're still waiting to see when the world will finally show up for them.
That's a very insightful report from Channel I-24. And again, the whole idea of the hostages now has been overshadowed by this unprecedented assault by Iran against the nation of Israel. 130 plus the number, somewhere around 133. They don't have an exact number. There's some belief that some of those hostages are no longer alive. And again, this is why this is a situation that's getting more dangerous by the moment. So the uncertainty remains, and it's heightened by reports that President Joe Biden says the U.S. will not support an Israeli counterattack against Iran. Multiple news outlets reported that apparently the president, in a phone call with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, said that Israel should view the successful defense against the missile attack as a, quote, win, and that the United States, presumably out of fears that the U.N. would be enmeshed in a wider war, would not take part in an Israeli military response. But the founder of NGO Monitor, a fellow by the name of Gerald Steinberg, posted on X, no, the Iranian regime's failure to do major damage with 350 missiles is not a win. 9 million Israelis spent the night being terrorized. The regime must pay a major price so that it will not be repeated. Mark Dubowitz, who's the CEO of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, also criticized the remarks from the White House, writing in part, deterrence by denial is the administration's operating philosophy. Deterrence by punishment is anathema. So keep shooting at America and its allies until something gets through. And apparently now the administration is trying to organize some kind of a G7, quote, diplomatic response to what the administration called Iran's brazen attack. Now, the president continues to say that he will support Israel, however, has said that he would do nothing to intercede in the event that this becomes a wider issue in that part of the world. So what do we do? Well, we pray without ceasing. We pray for protection for the innocents who are caught in what's going on. And that's both innocents, by the way, in Iran. If you saw any of the footage, and I posted this on X over the weekend, you saw the horrific lines for people in Iran who were trying to get food and water and gas because they know that some of their supplies are going to be cut off now as a part of all of this. And so there are innocents in Iran, there are innocents in Israel in the Middle East as well. Now, wisdom is what all of these leaders need. What we're going to have now are two conversations from people who understand the geopolitics and the power of the gospel so that you will be able to pray with specificity. Back after this. The Bible says those who seek will find. That means if you're looking for biblical answers to questions the world is asking, you will find them. And it's why I've chosen Seek as this month's truth tool. Get biblical answers to multiple questions on God, society, theology, and more. Ask for your copy of Seek when you give a gift of any amount to In the Market. Call 877-JANET-58, that's 877-JANET-58, or go to inthemarketwithjanetparshall.org. So an Israeli response to Iran's retaliatory attack may be imminent, according to a source speaking to NBC News. The comments came as Israel weighed its next steps after a meeting of the country's war cabinet today. The two countries clashed at an emergency meeting at the UN Security Council, with Tehran insisting it does not seek further escalation after launching a barrage of 300 drones and missiles, but warning of more decisive strikes in retaliation to any Israeli counterattack. So you can see the back and forth and the tension that's growing. I am thrilled that my dear friend, Dr. Hamush Shariat, is able to join us, because I want you to know and to pray for the nation of Iran. I want you to learn the distinctive between those who are in authority and the average Iranian who's hungry for something more, something better, which explains why so many people are coming to Christ at record numbers in Iran. And it was also interesting spending as much time on X over the weekend, because that really is the global news service right now, to see how many Iranians were speaking out in support of Israel, obviously in antithesis of the leadership. I want to tell you more about my friend Hormoz. He is a man, came to the United States, got his PhD in computer engineering, specializing in AI, by the way, planted a church in San Jose, California, Muslim converts, just scores and scores of them. It's still one of the largest churches of its kind in the United States. So following the Lord's leading, though, at the beginning of the 2001 to be exact, he followed the Lord's leading and founded Iran Alive Ministry. It uses satellite to reach the millions of lost and broken people in Iran and the rest of the Middle East. Why do I think after this weekend's activities, more and more people were tuning in to find out the hope that was being offered over the airways through Iran Alive Ministries? Hormoz, I'm so glad that you're here. First, I have to ask you, tell me what you are hearing from your sources in Iran. What is the reaction? You're the average Iranian. They plan this unprecedented strike against the nation of Israel, knowing it's stirring a boiling cauldron, knowing that this is what so many nation states in that part of the world don't want to have happen, because they believe it's like throwing a match on a dry pile of hay. What is the average Iranian thinking about what's going on? I shared just before you joined us that I saw a video coming out of Iran of people who were lined up to get gas and water and food because they're afraid this is going to impact them. So what are you hearing?
Well, thank you, Janet, for inviting me to share. Of course, there are something special going on in the midst of all these. We know God is at work. Now, it depends on who you ask in Iran about this event, the attack of Iran on Israel and the counterattack. You get different answers. Like yesterday, you saw the Revolutionary Guards celebrating on the street. Some people have seen that those clips and they think, oh, these are Iranian people. No, yes. They are not Iranian. These are the Revolutionary Guards who are celebrating on streets, the regular, the common Iranian people. Are you ready to be shocked? I mean, you kind of said they are pro-Israel rallies, have been the last few months after October attack. Iranians, for the most part, have been pro-Israel. Now, hear what they're saying. We are broadcasting 24/7. To Iran, and according to independent research, over 6-7 million people daily, over 20 million. And I'm in touch with them. So what I'm saying is not my personal opinion. I'm representing the common people in Iran. They are saying this, Janet. We hope Israel and U.S. will attack Iran and remove these mullahs. Remove these mullahs. Even though they're lined up, they know it's going to be in a war. Going to be hard, but they're saying they're suffering anyway. They're miserable anyway. And they have been talking about this the last few years. This is not new. The last few years, they were saying, we hope Israel or U.S. attack Iran and surgically remove these mullahs and set us free. we know that they probably won't attack the people. I mean, Israel has said that, and that's their policy, don't kill people. So the people of Iran, generally, they know it's going to be shortage, but generally they're not afraid of this war. Some of them said, is our freedom near? Maybe in the next few weeks, we are going to be free from these mullahs. And so they have a hope. They have created hope for the people of Iran.
Wow. Wow. Now, you realize saying that to people listening all across the country right now, that is probably so different than what they've heard on any other media outlet, that we fail to recognize the common Iranian who does not like the oppression put on them by these ayatollahs that are calling the shots. And so they would love to be rescued. They'd love to be back to having that freedom that they enjoyed once upon a time in Iran. And like you said before, Israel is known for using precision. And so that would be something that they would consider. But it raises an interesting question for us as followers of Christ. So Israel gets this attack, this unprecedented attack. It was just a blitz with these 300 drones and missiles. Thanks be to God for the Iron Dome and David Sling. Great names for a defensive program, by the way. They were able to stop 99% of what happened. But if Israel doesn't do anything, I'm sure that the consideration is, well, it looks like we're sitting ducks, or we're passive, or we're going to allow you to do this. If we do anything that Iran doesn't like, then Iran's going to come after us, and, you know, we won't retaliate. So you set a standard here, and that's the issue at hand, the setting the standard issue. But Iran has said if Israel responds to what they did over the weekend, that, in fact, they're coming back and they're going to do it again. And that's why the U.S. has to stay out of this completely. So what do you think will happen? Does Israel respond or not respond?
Well, one thing is clear. Neither side wants a full-fledged war. Neither U.S. or Israel or Iran, they have mentioned even Iranian government multiple times, even last week before they announced that we're going to attack. I mean, just look at it. Days before attack, they were announcing they're going to do it. And they did it in a way to minimize casualty or damage, but maximize the visual effect or news impact. And this was like scripted, maybe even mutually scripted between Iran and Israel, because they both will benefit. So I believe Israel will attack centers in Iran, military bases. But that would be it. I don't think we're going to get into a full-fledged war and Iran will come back. Iran will save its face, and Israel will save its face. But behind the closed doors, I think this was a scripted.
I think you're right. I understood that some of the drones actually were lit underneath so that they would be more impressive when they filled the night sky as they were being headed into the country of Israel. Hormoz, I'm glad I have another section with you, because in the midst of all of this, I want to hear what your viewers are saying, and if this in any way, shape, or form opens the door for further investigation into the gospel. I want to find out what you have to say. Dr. Hormoz Shariat is with us, founder of Iran Alive Ministries. Back after this. IranAlive.org. That is the website for Iran Alive Ministries. I am so excited about this ministry. Just for the gospel to be beamed in to the nation of Iran on a regular basis is just amazing. And how crucial. This is why you go through life with the Bible in one hand and the newspaper in the other. So Iran does this unprecedented assault against Israel. Thanks be to God, 99% of their drones and missiles are intercepted. And that's a blessing by any measure. But in the meantime, the gospel gets poured in now. Iran doesn't have an intercept for the gospel. Just think about this. So those missiles carrying the gospel are coming in through Iran Alive 24/7. And I really and truly, what goes in the heart and the mind of the average Iranian, whom Dr. Hormoz Shariat, the founder of Iran Alive Ministries, told us a moment ago, the average Iranian would love for the Ayatollahs to be usurped so they could go back to having some sense of freedom and liberty in that country once again. So since this happened, what kind of response are you getting from your viewers? What are they thinking in terms of the gospel? In other words, when you're lining up in your car to car, back to back, late Saturday night, early Sunday morning, trying to get gasoline because you're pretty sure that, again, anytime this kind of an incursion takes place, it's going to have an impact on your life and the supplies that you need. But there's something greater than that, the internal hunger, that hole in the heart that no food can fill, that energy that can only be supplied by the gospel that doesn't compare, that outdistances the one that goes in your car. So what are you hearing from listeners? And is this an opportunity, a greater opportunity for the gospel?
Well, of course, people are fearful in terms of they know war is ugly and they're going to suffer through it at different levels. But also, the Lord has been gracious to us at Iran Alive. In last December, many people, including some of our leaders, saw dream of Iran being attacked and there's Iran is going to go through harsh. So in January and February, a series of seven messages I shared with the people of Iran, two things for non-believers, that there are hard times coming. It's prophesied in Jeremiah 49, verses 34 and on, that Iran will go through a war, Iran will go through a suffering, but there's good news, I told the non-believers. Jeremiah 49:38, after all this suffering, Iran will be saved, and Iran is being saved today. That was my message to non-believers. At the same time, my message to believers has been, when these things happen, like today, do not be scared, do not be fearful. That's Matthew 24, a message, but be prepared to serve the Lord among the people. Even today, we had a large meeting, and my message is, hey, let's rebroadcast my seven messages because I told you when these things happen, don't be afraid. These are the good times for Christians to shine in the darkness. This is the best time to evangelize Iranians. So I'm encouraging the believers, this is not time to be afraid, to shrink back. This is time to go out, share the hope of Christ to people, with people, and share that God has foretold that Iran will go through suffering, but it will be saved. So this is time to serve the Lord and bring even more to Christ. The Lord has been opening the heavens in Iran, and evangelism, Janet, in Iran is easy. I mean, I shared the simplest message of the gospel, and hundreds of people contact, and they come to Christ every time.
Wow.
So Iran is ready for the gospel. This hardship, a war, a threat, will open them even more up to the message of the Christ. Now, Christians, we need to work with Christians. I'm telling Christians, hey, wake up. This is the golden time to shine for Jesus and establish his church in Iran. That's my message through our 24/7 satellite television. Evangelism for the unreached, yes, hard time, but there is salvation. To the saved, this is the time to shine for Jesus.
Amen. Wow. Amen. You know, when you do your message, talk to me about the recipients at the other end, because you cannot gather together as a church in Iran. So how do you train? Well, I was going to say missionaries, but they're not. The missionaries are people who come from the outside in. How do you train nationals in Iran to then become Pauls who will take the ministry and take the message throughout Iran? How does that happen?
Well, a true story for 7 satellite television. You know, the signal goes over the heads of the mullahs into people's homes, and the government cannot stop that air. I call them Air Force, you know, that message. So we share, you know, the good thing about satellite television, you don't have to tell, you can show. So we show them how to live a Christian life. We show them how to plant a house church. At the same time, those who are top leaders, those who are really want to do something great for the Lord, we bring them into secure chat rooms. We train them in small groups. We train them in one-on-one. And we have amazing leaders. Janet, a Muslim that comes to Christ becomes like a giant in faith, like a commander. Why? Because when you come from darkness, you appreciate the light. These young people who come from out of Islam, become Christian, they are free from fear. They're ready to live for Jesus and even die for Jesus. So just train them. Now, I want to encourage everybody. Would you come? Would you help us? Would you join us to train these young people who are coming out of Islam and they're ready to serve the Lord? That's the bottleneck. Evangelism, done. Don't worry about evangelism. But how do you pick these young people who are by thousands? They want to be trained. They want to be released. They want to be mobilized to serve the Lord. That's where we're facing. That's the bottleneck. Let's release them. Let's train them and mobilize them. Together, we can cause a movement in Iran.
Amen. Amen. a movement that no geopolitical force can stop. Oh, Hormuz, I love our conversations. They're so encouraging. And not only that, you really remind us all within the sound of your voice that there's a role that we can play. So I want you to learn more about Iran Alive Ministries, iranalive.org. Prayerfully consider what you can do to support this ministry through prayer and finances as we pray for a real revival in the land. Not a revolution, a revival in the land of Persia. We're going to take a break and come right back. My heartfelt thanks to Dr. Hormuz Sharia. Back after this. Our team of Partial Partners is growing, and I love communicating behind the scenes with this special group of friends who are devoted to giving a monthly gift to In the Market. Our Partial Partners receive private emails direct from me on issues we don't address on radio, and I even send a weekly audio message straight from my heart to yours. Ready to become a Partial Partner? Call 877-JANET-58, 877-JANET-58, or go to inthemarketwithjanetpartial.org. I'm so glad you just heard our conversation with Dr. Hormuz Sharia, and you can understand exactly what the average Iranian thinks, particularly in light of what happened over the weekend. They would love, by the way, to be rid of the Ayatollahs. And I just retweeted a wonderful, wonderful picture from Iran that shows a hand cupped in another hand. It's the Iranian flag on one hand, the Israeli flag on the other. And it goes exactly to what Hormuz was just saying about, for the average Iranian, they are not interested in a confrontation with Israel, despite the mullahs and the Ayatollahs saying, you know, that Israel is the little Satan and America is the great Satan. Well, you've gotten that perspective from Iran. I want to get your perspective now. I want you to hear a perspective now about Israel, which is why I'm thrilled that Tom Doyle is joining us today. He fell in love with the Middle East when he did his very first tour there years and years and years ago. He became an official guide, and he has now started a new ministry called Uncharted along with his wife, Joanna. And it's wonderful because they will go wherever the gospel is preached. In fact, they'll go to places where it's not preached and they go to preach it there. But he's got all kinds of boots on the ground. He's got relationships in Egypt and Iran and Iraq and Jordan and Syria and the Palestinian territories. And that's what really caused him to launch Uncharted, because he's moving into uncharted territory here with the gospel of Jesus Christ. He's got a wonderful podcast, by the way, and he's a terrific author. And I put down just one book for you to follow of many called Women Who Risk, Secret Agents for Jesus in the Muslim World. Tom, wow, what a weekend. Like you, I'm sure you were super glued to every one of your sources in Israel, as I was. And I didn't know whether I should go to bed, but I watched the intercepts going on and I thought maybe this is not going to bode as poorly for Israel as Iran would have liked. But given the Iron Dome and David Sling, and I've said several times today, what great names for defensive programs, by the way. I just love
That's
it.
Right.
And just 99% of them were stopped. But it raises a philosophical and a military issue, which is now what does Israel do? Do they say, okay, you know, like two kids on a playground, you threw the first punch and then we counterpunched with the drones and now you're going to punch again and then it's going to go back and forth. And then the U.S. keeps weighing in. It drives me crazy. The U.S. keeps weighing in, telling this sovereign nation how it should defend itself. I'm pretty sure that if 300 missiles and drones flew over New York City over the weekend, we wouldn't care what France had to say about how we defend ourselves. So I don't know why we think that it makes any difference. So I'm getting ahead of myself. I want to hear what your sources were telling you, because you have friends in the Israeli world and the Arab world and the Jewish world. What was their reaction to what happened this weekend?
Well, you know, they were saying it's finally here, Janet. They were saying it's here. We were ready for it, and we knew it was coming. Iran's been talking about this for 15 to 20 years. And when I first heard it, Janet, we were doing a missions conference in Pennsylvania at Lancaster County, and all of a sudden it's breaking, and our IDF friends are getting a hold of us, and our Palestinians in Gaza, and we're Jordanians, we're hearing all about it. But I remember my first thought was this: I bet the most excited people right now on the face of the earth are the Iranians. And it's the Iranian believers. Mm. And it's the Iranians that hate the government because they've been waiting for this. They're hoping that it's going to be toppled. And I was listening to Hormuz, and we partner together in Iran, and his words were so right on. I mean, they're hoping for Iran is a surgical strike. The believers there are saying, just remove them, get rid of the Ayatollah, the mullahs. Get rid of them. We're praying for that. And then in Israel, we were getting videos and phone calls and all kinds of things going on, but they were buckling their seatbelt, realizing that here it was. How bad was it going to be? Nobody knew. Mm-hmm. But it was very ineffective. Sadly, three people in Jordan were killed. And if you've seen that path of the rockets going on, the cruise missiles and the suicide drones and all of that, it all ended up going over Jordan. It was a vortex. And we were hearing from our Jordanian believers saying, please pray for us. There's a lot of things landing in from the sky right now. Mm-hmm. So it was just critical all around. But I thought, you know, this is what happens, Janet, in a crisis. The body of Christ together. It doesn't matter if you're Iranian or Israeli or Jordanian. Everybody's praying for each
exactly.
other because brothers mm-hmm. and sisters in Christ need each other. And all of that stuff, all the politics, all the talk about war, it ceases to you know, move them. They are worried, concerned about believers in neighboring countries. So it was a sad thing on Saturday night. We barely got much sleep, that's for sure. But yet it was exciting to see the believers come together and tell your friends in Jordan that we're praying for them, and Iranians saying, we don't want anything to happen to Israel. We love the Jews. And Janet, I've been privileged to go into Iran a couple of times and smuggle Bibles. And of course, my dad was an FBI agent, so he didn't like breaking the law, you know, so I don't call it smuggling Bibles, just personal deliveries from God, we like to say, right? And oh my gosh, we got an education there when we first met the Iranians because they were so anti-government. They would tell us what they were really thinking when nobody was listening, and the hunger for the Word of God, I've never seen it anything like that anywhere in the world. And we've been all over the place. The hunger. We had so many women that came up in hijabs, sticking their hands out, asking for a Bible. They knew we were Christians wherever we went. We got caught by a soldier going into Esfahan with a bag stuffed with Bibles, Janet. And the officer, he picks it right up, the bag, and opens it up. What are these? I said, well, they're books, and they're really good books. They're the best book. And he stood there, and I thought, well, we're probably going to jail for this one. He sat there and opened it up and flipped through the Bible for like 5 minutes. Then he looked me in the eye and said, this is good. Mm. This is really good. And I thought, is this guy a secret believer? Has he had a dream about Jesus? I don't know. But he let us go. He could have, you know, taken us off. And the Bibles got into that city. And so, fastest growing church per capita in the world.
Yeah, yeah.
Sick of the government, praying for Israel to get rid of them. And then our friends in Israel were just holding their breath, praying, saying, we saw God move here. Because virtually every plane in the Israeli Air Force was in the sky. They were up there shooting him down over Jordan. But before, I think 10 got into the airspace in Israel. But I mean, you talk about being ready and well-equipped. They did it. And so the only question we have now is what's going to happen next? Is Israel going to go in hard and heavy?
Yeah.
We're not sure what's going to happen. But I think I'm like you. We're sick of America telling them what to do. It's their own country. They can do what they want. And they're not really listening to this administration. They're going to do what they need to do. And they should be able to do that, right?
Well, I smile, as I know you do, too, because when you've been to Israel a lot of times and you have an opportunity to understand those who are in government and meet with them and talk with them, they'll take counsel from anybody. You know, there's wisdom in the counsel of many. I think they believe that. But in the end, they'll do what they think is right to protect their country, as a sovereign nation should, by the way. In the end, they're going to make their own decision. Now, you heard Homo say in our segment together that perhaps it will be like a targeted strike back to Iran, a military base or something. Mm-hmm. But to not do anything, I understand where this tension would come from, basically says, it's okay, you can throw a punch, but, you know, that's okay. Throw any punches you want to anytime you want to. If you don't retaliate, you have given a kind of acquiescence, a permission, if you will, to the Iranian regime to be able to say, it's okay to respond like this. Now, I know I think Hormoz is right. I think they wanted to make it a show. I was reading that some Israelis on the ground said it looks like the underneath of these drones are lit so that it looks more dramatic when it goes in the sky.
Is that light bulb supposed to scare the Israelis?
You know, I'm not sure about that.
that.
Exactly. So what do you think? And this is just a guess, and everybody's got an opinion. We know that the Security Council met yesterday, and so we know that they're thinking about it. The report from CBN News is they are going to respond in a time, way, mm-hmm. and place to be determined. Do you think, A, they will do it, and B, do you think it'll be with pinpoint precision on a targeted spot to send a message?
Yeah, I really do. And I think the Israelis will make them sweat it out. I, if I'm guessing, it won't be tonight. It might be in a week or so, or who knows, a couple of weeks. That's my guess. I may be wrong on that one, but I think you have to do it. You have to. And I remember back in the days of Jimmy Carter, whoever that was the prime minister, and I'm forgetting right now, I'm so jet lagged with travel, but the prime minister from Israel was summoned by Jimmy Carter to come and sit down and visit with him. And apparently the meeting did not go well. Carter just yelled at him for quite a bit of the meeting. The prime minister sat there, didn't say a word. Carter went on and on and on. And finally he looked at him and said, "Are we finished here?" And the prime minister of Israel walked out the door. That's an Israeli for you. So they're going to listen to the advice. They're going to hear it from America, but they're not going to do something that puts their people in harm's way. They're just not going to.
Exactly. So do your jet lag, Menachem Begin.
Menachem Begin, that's who it was. There you go.
But it does raise an interesting question, and I thought about this all weekend too. Were you surprised and pleased, as I was, to see how the teams lined up, if I can put it that way? And I thought, excuse me, but one of the overlooked issues here is the Abrahamic Accords.
Yes.
Would we have seen Saudi Arabia respond if the Accords hadn't been drafted?
Yeah, they would have been quiet. There's no way they would have jumped in there. That was a signal. That was a poker game, and cards were put on the table. And it was so good to see Saudi Arabia stand up and do this. In fact, we have some friends that are in Saudi Arabia right now doing a Bible tour, and they were just applauding them for getting involved. Formerly, that wouldn't have happened before the Abraham Accords. No way.
Oh, I'm so glad I have more time with you. Tom Doyle is with us again. One of the things I love about the work I'm called to do is I get to point you to fabulous ministries, and Uncharted Ministries is one of those. You can hear Tom. He's got the joy of the Lord. He tells that story about being at a border in Iran with Bibles. And I don't know about you, but I'm having heart palpitations when he's telling the story. And he goes, "Oh, well, might end up in jail for this one." So he's the right man for the right job at the right time doing the right thing. I just love his work. Uncharted Ministries and his book, Books of Plural, fascinating. Dreams and Vision, Killing Christians, Standing in the Fire, and Women Who Risk. All of them fantastic. More with Tom Doyle right after this. Joanne and Tom Doyle founded Uncharted Ministries back in 2017, and they just have wonderful relationships with people all over the globe, and the door opens and they'll share the gospel with whomever. And he really is a profound example of what it means to be an ambassador for the Lord. So I want you to learn more about Uncharted Ministries, unchartedministries.com. That's the website. I've got it linked on my page so you can learn more. Let's go to the court of public opinion, Tom, because you can't talk about Israel without that. We talked about this pressure from the United States about, you know, call it a win, you're done, that's it. Again, you know, Israel will take, they're being gracious, they're taking the advice, but in the end, they'll do exactly what they want. So mm-hmm. I reported earlier this hour about a report that was filed by I-24 in Israel, and they talked about, yet again, another offer was made to Hamas for the release of the hostages. And again, it was turned down. All of that was buried because of what Iran did over the weekend. But there are over 130 hostages who are still being held by Hamas. They're turning down. So I say that and I drop it contextually in the fact that today people couldn't get to their flights at O'Hare Airport because these, quote, pro-Palestinian, what they really are, it's like the abortion issue. They're not pro-choice, they're pro-death. And you're not pro-Palestinian, you're pro-genocide. When your chant is from the river to the sea, that's exactly what the PLO charter says. It calls for the annihilation of the Jews. They cry genocide while purporting to want to advance genocide. So they block streets in Tampa, Florida. They did it in Chicago. They did it on the Bay Bridge in San Francisco today. They did it in New York. So you see these people, and I know that that's creating a kind of political pressure on those in authority in this country. What do we do as believers about that? Because I look at these people and I go, just let's go get a cup of coffee and let's talk this through, because I don't know what your news source is, but now let's just balance it with the facts. They may be stubborn things, they may be uncomfortable things, but let's look at the facts, by the way. So how do we pray when we see this? You know, you talk about being angry and sin not. You're trying to catch a plane at O'Hare, and you can't because somebody's protesting. There actually was video of people getting out of their cars and trying to walk the rest of the way to the airport. I'm pretty sure they didn't make that flight. But how do we respond to this? And how do we pray?
Boy, and I think it's easy because we live in such polarized times now that it would be so easy to get angry. And boy, we have to just pray to be in the spirit all day long. Mm-hmm. And a gentle answer turns away wrath. And, you know, Joanna and I were talking the other day, and we put the armor of God on. We pray the armor of God when we go out into ministries, especially with Muslims. So we don't think it's just figurative in the Ephesians 6, because Paul was in a jail and it looked like a Roman soldier, you know, that makes a good illustration. We're told to do it, to put it on, to stand. We're doing that every day now because of the polarization that we're seeing in our country. There are believers that are angry, that are pretty close to siding with Hamas, that is just unfathomable when you even think about it, saying things like, well, Israel deserve this. So we have to be rational. We have to bring it down a notch. We have to love them. They're wrong. And there's a lot of people wrong in America right now, but they all have opinions, and so many of them have gotten them on TikTok. They've never been to the Middle East. They certainly haven't been to Israel. And so they're spouting their knowledge out, and they're getting caught up in this oppressed narrative. Israel's the oppressor. Palestinians are the oppressed. And our Palestinian friends have a horrible situation they're living in. But Hamas is the one that makes it horrible. They're the ones that started the war. Israel didn't want to, but they were dragged into it. So I think we just have to speak truth in love. We have to be willing to not be as they are, because they're just in your face, angry, violent. And then that's how they're supposed to get their way. They're just supposed to mute you because they're screaming so loud you can't get a word in. We're never called to be that way as believers. And I think people are noticing the difference between believers and those that are involved in these kind of marches, and it's attractive to them. So we have to live like Jesus in the midst of this. And of course, Jesus modeled that when he was during a time of Rome ruling that area. And very little was mentioned about that. In fact, even with the disciples, when they went out and spread the gospel, very little was mentioned about that. They just kept doing what they were called to do. We have a job here, and it's much bigger than this, because the physical war on the ground is that reflection of that spiritual war in the heavenlies. But Janet, here's some good news with Muslims, okay? We have I Found the Truth, our website that shows Muslim background believer videos. It took 2 years to three to get to 100,000 followers on YouTube. We had 100,000 new followers just last week on I Found the Truth, just last
Whoa.
Week. That's huge. Who says Muslims aren't interested in the gospel? Mm-hmm. You ought to see the communications we're getting. And believers are stepping up and saying, I need to learn how to share with my Muslim neighbor. Like we say at Uncharted, the Muslims are coming, the Muslims are coming, the Muslims are here. And what are we going to do about it? Are we going to just sit back and not approach them with the gospel? That's what we're called to do. So we're called to be higher above this. We're called to be salt and light. Boy, we just don't want to stoop to their level and scream and shout do those kind of protests. We want to show the love of Christ, and that's much more powerful than the hate.
Tom, it seems like a rudimentary question, but I think it's one that we need to ask so that we can think on these things. And that is, why do the events that are taking place in the Middle East right now often precede a hunger for the gospel? What's the connection?
Yeah, I think what happens is, you know, the gospel, Jesus said, upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not stand against it. In fact, what we saw on October 7th and since then, it was just like Jack in the Box is popping up with the devil himself. And it's not being hidden. It's being seen all over. In fact, if you ever know the history on Jack in the Boxes, they were made in 1500 by a Frenchman, and they were called Devil in a Box. And a little devil would jump out, and it was really creepy. And that's what it looked like on October 7th. It's just popping up all over. Nobody's hiding it. It's out in the open, and people start to respond against that. Many will embrace that, but people are are sickened by it. And many say there's got to be another way. And so I think it's that. And I think there's a ton of believers around the world praying for unreached people groups and the world situation right now. And they're praying for Israel.
Wow. You just gave us our marching orders, which is we need to be doing exactly the same thing. That admonition to pray for those in authority. You know, we can't just colloquialize that. You can't make it local. These are people who are having to make very important decisions with profound ramifications. So pray for those in authority. Pray for the innocent people who are caught in the crosshairs. Tom, you started our time together talking about Iranians who would love to be rid of the Ayatollahs. And we need to be praying that somehow God would open the door and let the fresh air of liberty blow through that nation as well. But pray above all else that hearts would really be receptive to the power of the gospel, because the gospel changes everything. Thank you, Tom Doyle, so much. Thank you, friends. We'll see you next time.